This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds. To the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
All right, Joe.
Hey.
Happy Friday to you. How are you?
Hello. Hello, gentlemen. It's good to be with you. And yeah, I guess there is some smoke going on over at Lenny. Now, I feel like it's not coming from me as much as it's coming from the ears of Ronnie Dyla and just the frustration that seems to be boiling over there. But yeah, certainly plenty of drama going on.
Like what, Joe? I mean, obviously, losing, elevates everything else. But this dude talking about Rogue and all this other stuff, like, what the hell?
Well, yeah. So, well, there's a couple things there. You know, something that Ronnie Dyla was speaking about yesterday and what I was kind of mentioning is, you know, Miguel Almirón in the team's last game that they played last Saturday against the New England Revolution, he was just kind of all over the place. He was supposed to be playing on the left wing, but he kept on trying to find the game, you know, coming to the ball, and therefore that was just causing some trouble, I think, for the rest of the team and the way the whole thing was supposed to operate. So I think what they're trying to do with Miguel at this point, because when he was in Atlanta the first time, he had kind of ultimate freedom in Tata Martino's system. It was basically, right. He was almost kind of playing, he almost had the freedom of a forward in the way he was just kind of able to go out and just make things happen and just connect the game to Joseph Martinez, and the way that Ronnie Dyla wants to play is more structured. He wants him, what Ronnie would call it, playing more positional, kind of sticking to your zone. And even if the ball goes away from you, Miguel needs to kind of pin the opponent, like keep in his position so that the opponent has to respect him. It's like spreading the floor in basketball. You know, you don't want everybody kind of clustering over in one spot because it makes you easier to defend. So I think that's kind of the teething issue that's happening there so far and kind of what I was referencing in some of those tweets. However, Randy, there is some other, like, maybe more drama. There was a little brouhaha, a fracas, you know, a classic training camp shuffle, basically, that happened during training camp this week with Tristan Mbayumba and Bartek Schleish, you know, two midfielders who play next to each other in most games, kind of getting into it with one another. They were on opposing teams in a practice competition, and things got heated and physical. So I actually think that's kind of a good thing, though, for this Atlanta United team to see them getting that anger out, you know, and really kind of bring the passion to practice in that way. I think it's good for this team. It's what they need.
I do too. I mean, they're playing poorly, or at least the results have been bad.
Yeah.
Might as well get in a fight with each other about it.
I mean, they're like brothers fighting.
Yeah,
bring it closer together.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Hopefully, they can translate or use that rage towards getting a result this weekend. Let me change gears here and talk a little Falcons as we're less than a week away from the NFL draft, at least the first round of the NFL draft. Second and third rounds are a week from today. When you look at historically, because you've been covering the team for a handful of years now, certainly the Terry Fontenot era, when you look at how they handle the pre-draft meetings and pro days and combines and stuff like that, do you feel like you have a pretty good sense of what they're going to do on draft day, or are you just as confused as the rest of us?
I feel like I do. I feel like I do, and I say that with a little bit of caution for the obvious reasons why I think you, like you just said, you kind of don't know where they're going to go. Maybe that's the more humble approach to take. I just feel like they have to go with an edge rusher, and I feel like, or I, Okay, let me say this. They have to go with a defensive player. I'm already hedging. They have to go with a defensive player with that first pick. And the only reason I feel like pretty confident in that, other than just assessing the roster and just seeing the obvious needs there, is that I feel like they're basically telegraphing this. They have been telegraphing it really since the owners' meetings when, you know, Arthur Blank came out and had his comments about what he expects from this draft. And I think that even in some of the public statements, and I think we're going to hear from Terry Fontenot next Wednesday, you know, I think that they will be open about, you know, that's what they're looking for. And then when you look at the draft class, you know, it is a class that sets up very well for what they need, especially in the first round. You know, there's going to be edge rushers available for them to draft. You know, whether, you know, their top guy, whether that's Mike Green or Mikel Williams or whoever it is, Shamar Stewart, whoever it is, whether that player's there or not is to be determined. But they also have a need potentially at safety, and you've got a great safety option. Malachi Starks be there. If they really want to focus on that nickelback, they've got Jahdae Barron, who could very well be there for them. So I just feel like there are so many defensive players in this class that would fit a very specific need for them that is going to be available for them. And I think that that's ultimately the route that they're going to go. Now, could they go offense maybe earlier than we thought if they do end up drafting a tackle maybe with a second-round pick? Or if they trade down and they accrue more picks, could they pick one up potentially? But I really do believe them when they say that this is going to be a very defensive-focused draft. And, you know, I kind of narrowed down to say I really think they're going to go edge rusher. I think that, you know, with Terry Fontenot, when he talks about this best player available, he always kind of hedges it to be like the best player available for us. And what I take right about that "for us" part is what player can we take that's going to add the most value to the team? And I think that when you look at where can you add value, it's with that pass rush, with the guys that are in this class. And so I think that that's the way that they're kind of looking at things.
JP, I know we keep talking about edge, pass rush, all these different things. What's the Falcons' second biggest need in your opinion?
I think it's that nickel. And, you know, I think, you know, by signing Jordan Fuller from the Panthers, it's not like he's like some great safety, but I do think that they're more comfortable with what they have at safety at this point. Or let me say this. I'm more comfortable with what they have at safety at this point than with what they have at the cornerback positions. I just think that you have a lot of players there who are either, you know, we have a good sample size of them and they're just clearly kind of, you know, not of the caliber that you need if you really want to be, you know, a division-winning team and a team that's going to challenge in the playoffs. And, you know, when you look at some of the numbers last year, and some of this I'm sure is scheme-related, but, I mean, Falcons nickelbacks were targeted more than any in the NFL last year, and opposing teams had the most were more successful against Falcons nickelbacks than pretty much any other team. And so, you know, I just think that there's a clear need there. And I think one of the interesting questions for the Falcons and for Falcons fans to consider when we talk about this is, should they be actually going out looking to acquire specifically a nickelback who's going to play that role for the team and probably play that role for a long time? Or do you go and kind of get one of the best cornerbacks available, but those cornerbacks tend to be guys who have all their experience on the outside because they're great cornerbacks and they're matching up against the best receivers in college, and they don't have that experience inside. And then do you, you know, kick one of the other players, you know, inside to be able to do that? You know, I think that's going to be the question, but ultimately I think the Falcons are going to be going out looking for what player can be that physical presence, but also, you know, cover those slot receivers that are becoming so common in the NFL.
Hey, Joe, earlier in the week, we saw the news out of Miami that Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins are probably going to split ways. There's ties, obviously, yep, with him and Ra. Do you, you give any credence to the possibility of that?
Well, I think there's obviously interest from the Falcons just based on the relationships there with Raheem Morris and Jalen Ramsey. And so, you know, I think that would they like to get something done? Would they like to bring him in? Of course they would. I think, you know, what team would want to put Jalen Ramsey on their own? Well, yeah, apparently. But I think that, there's kind of an issue here with actually making a trade work. You know, the Falcons don't really have draft capital to be able to trade away. So if that's the case, you know, are you willing to move a Kyle Pitts or a Tyler Allgeier? I'm just throwing names out there of guys who kind of have had their names in trade rumors over this offseason. I don't know. And maybe it becomes more feasible once you get past the draft and you get into the summer, especially if you are able to move on from Kirk Cousins at some point and open up some salary cap space that allows you to, you know, better fit a guy like Jalen Ramsey into that financial picture. I think that if there's going to be something that happens with the Falcons, it's going to be later down the road. So if you do want to see Jalen Ramsey in a Falcons uniform, you know, obviously you've got to be rooting for no kind of sudden movement to be happening here before the draft. And unfortunately for the Falcons, I think a lot of other teams are going to have that kind of draft capital to be able to, you know, entice the Dolphins in making a move happen. If he was a free agent, this would be a totally different story. But the fact that there's a trade and the Dolphins have to accept that trade package, that's what's really going to be tough for the Falcons in this situation.
Hey, Joe, since we won't talk to you before the first round, we'll talk to you the day after. Give me a name. Who do you think is the guy that you expect to see the Falcons take at 15?
Mike Green. If he's there, okay. Mike Green. It's got to be. The combine number, the 6.853 cone is what really sold it for me. That's the speed coming around the edge. As well as the production he had. Love the guy.
He's kind of the second guest today because we had Greg Cosell on from NFL Films, and he spoke really highly. He didn't say he thinks the Falcons are going to take him, but he spoke really highly of him as well. Joe, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there. Falcons Insider also covers Atlanta United here for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes.